All right. So, I am not good at sharing the gospel, and neither are the rest of us, and that's why we're in here, right? We need help doing it, and when I say we're not good at it, we can always increase in this area, right? I think, unless anybody's a master, they can switch me spots. So, I just want to be clear from the jump. This is something that we are always trying to get better at in our faith. And it doesn't come by just a formula, or it doesn't come just by doing these simple steps, but it comes by an increase in love for God and a love for other people, okay? So I want that to be kind of the core and the foundation of this time. But before we start, let me pray for us and ask God for his help. Let's pray. Father, thank you for gathering us here today. Thank you for sharing the gospel with us through weak individuals, such as humans, through parents, through pastors, through friends, through coworkers. You have used so many individuals to get these individuals in this room together. And that is your providence, and we praise you for that. We praise you for your works that you're doing. So help us now. Help us now to be motivated by love for you and love for others to go and share the greatest news of all time with those around us. Help us to consider the gospel and to be changed by it and to share it. Give us boldness. I would ask for that right now, as your people have done in the book of Acts. Give us boldness to share about you, to proclaim your truths. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Gospel means good news, and that's really what it is. It's good news. And if you boil it down, it's kind of boiled down to the person and the work of Jesus. Okay? We're talking about what the gospel is. It boils down to the person and the work of Jesus. But real quick, as we start, let's maybe by raise of hands say, what's one part of the gospel? Because when someone asks us what the gospel is, we kind of freeze up sometimes and we just don't know how to explain it or how to say it. So what's one part of the gospel that you would say is essential? If I'm sharing the gospel with someone, this part is essential. And just give me one. There's multiple parts of it. So just give me one. John, you got one?
Jesus died for our sins.
Okay, Jesus dying where?
On the cross.
On the cross for our sins. It's great.
My need.
We are in need of a Savior. Yes. Mm-hmm. Anthony.
The gospel is the only means of salvation.
Yes. Yes. Very good. The gospel is the only means of salvation. It's exclusive. Autumn.
He rose from the dead.
Yes. The resurrection. That's very important. It doesn't happen apart from that. Tara.
We are all sinners.
Yes. We are all sinners. Yes.
Jesus offers us forgiveness.
He offers us forgiveness. Great. Christina, did you have something?
Jesus loves us.
Yeah. Love. It's motivated by love. Alan?
We are incapable of saving ourselves.
Yes, we need a Savior. We cannot do it apart from somebody else.
But we can conquer all things through Christ.
Through Christ. Through Christ. That's very important.
Yes, that's the only way we can conquer anything.
That's right. We can't do anything apart from Him. Without Him, we are in utter need. Okay. Anthony?
Nobody will be excluded from God's judgment. Therefore, you need Jesus Christ.
That's great. Yes. So the wrath of God is being poured out on sinners.
Everybody.
Everybody is in that category, like Tara said, right? We're all sinners. And through Christ is the only way out of that. Autumn.
Like who Jesus is, he's a man, but not only a man, but he's also God.
Yes, good. Yes, the person of Jesus. He is fully man and fully God, right? Yeah, good. Sin.
Alive.
What's that?
And he's alive.
He's alive. That's right. That's right. We just sang about that a couple weeks ago, right?
And because of his death on the cross and resurrection, we will live too.
Yes, yes. Eternal life. That's really a big point, right? We get eternal life. There's something that we get from this, and it's we get Christ in eternal life. Anything else? Those are all great things.
God loves us all the same.
Yeah. He loves all those that come to him. That's right. Yeah, exactly. So we can all say these different things, but if we just threw that up onto someone right now, it would be like, a bunch of gobbledygook, right? It would be like, what are you talking about? So when we share the gospel, it is good to know all these things, and these things are essential, but what also is good is to kind of have an order to it, right? If I'm going to share the gospel with someone, I would like to know what I'm going to say to those people. And so I said this, I think Jennifer Fagans is in here, right? Okay. She pressed me on this point. I said that formulas are not always necessary in math, and she disagreed with me. I'm still going to stand my ground, so you can tell your aunt that I said that. But I don't think formulas are always necessary for everything in math, but they are very helpful. And it's the same way with sharing the gospel. So real quick as we start, I want to go through, and you have a little piece of paper there that says, what is the gospel? These are the tracts that we actually use here at Baker Heights. We find them very helpful, concise, and accurate by a pastor named Greg Gilbert. He's a great guy. He's a pastor in Louisville, Kentucky. And he kind of walks through four main parts, okay? And so this is very helpful for us to remember. He walks through God, man, Christ, response, okay? God, man, Christ, response. So there's only four parts. And so whenever we share the gospel with somebody, it is very good to start at the beginning, okay? So we can start with Christ, but as you can see, Christ is number three here. But if we start with God as creator, it's kind of lays the groundwork for everything else that we're going to build off that, okay? So we start with God, that he is the creator. Genesis 1:1, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I was asking someone the other day about their worldview, which is a great question to ask, by the way, when you're talking with people. Just say, how do you view the world? Okay, it gets the ball rolling there, okay? It's good to ask those types of questions. I asked him that. He's Buddhist. He was talking to me about what Buddhism is doing for him and all this stuff. He was explaining kind of this nirvana type stuff, this self-actualization type stuff. For me, I'm thinking, this doesn't make any sense, and it's kind of contradicting itself. But I asked him, I said, what do you believe is the origin of the universe? And he didn't give me an answer. I don't know what the answer is in Buddhism. I haven't studied Buddhism. But anyway, he couldn't give me an answer. And he's like thinking and pondering there, I don't really know. And so within the framework of Christianity, within the gospel, we have a logical and a reasonable answer to the origin of the universe, okay? So when we're thinking and we're talking about a start point for everything that we know, we have an answer for that. And it's logical and reasonable, backed up by what we see and observe in the world, okay? It's not just because we see it in God's word, but because what we see in God's word makes sense, logically speaking, with everything outside in his world, okay? So there's two books in the world. There's the Bible, and then there's the book of the world, and they make sense. They are congruent with one another. So we have that. So we have to start with God is the creator. What else is God? Let's think of some attributes or characteristics of him.
The Father.
Okay, he's the Father. Yes. So he's existing in a relatable way to his creation. What else? He's holy. Good. That's huge, right? He's holy. What does that mean? Because we say that word all the time.
He's perfect.
He's perfect. Good.
Set apart,
right? If we're on this shelf, he's on 1 million shelves above us, right? He is set apart. There's no one like him. He's in a category all by himself. What else is he, Stephen?
Perfect.
Yes, we said that. Perfect. Good.
Pure.
He's pure. Yeah. He's sinless. There is no wrong within him.
Omnipotent.
He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful, right? Okay, good. Anything else that he is? Anthony?
He's a judge.
He's a judge, yes. And specifically in the category of judge, there's another attribute that we want to use. And this is helpful when sharing the gospel. He is
merciful.
He's merciful and he's just. Good. He's a just judge. What does the word just mean?
Fair.
Fair. Good. He's fair, all right? And so that's very helpful. So all of these characteristics compile into our starting point with this creator. He's merciful, he's a judge, he's just, he's loving, he's compassionate, he's kind. All these characteristics kind of pile up. And so when I'm walking through the beginning of the gospel with someone, I'm rattling these things off. Who is God? If I'm saying that he's the creator of the universe, then we need to say, who is he? Okay? And he's all these things. And two that are very helpful, or three or four of them, I guess, but that he's holy, that he's loving. Those two things are sometimes seen as opposite or opposing one another, and they're not. They go together quite nicely, actually. And so since God is holy, that brings us to the next portion. He has to punish sin, and that's where we get to man. So God creates man. What's so special about man, though?
He's made in his image.
Made in his image, good. Yeah, that's huge. And you got to go there. God created, and he created man in his image. You're going to be talking this not to animals, not to insects. You're going to be saying this to other mankind, humans, right? Okay? So you're saying, God created me, God created you, he made us in his image. Okay? That's very important. So that's special. But what's so bad about what man did?
Sin.
Yes, sin. So why is sin so wrong?
Separates
us from God. That's huge.
Destroys us.
Yeah. Wrecks our lives, right? Why else is it so bad in specifically talking about when man does it against God?
Just selfish choice.
Okay, selfishness. Yeah. Yeah.
It takes God from his rightful place.
Okay, yes. And he does that by man says, I am God, you are not. Basically is what we say when we sin, which all of us in this room would say, oh, I've never said that. But that's what we say with our actions, right? And so we're placing ourselves as authority over top of God. And so that's why sin is so bad. It's a denial of God. It's creation spitting in the face of the Creator. And we have to know that this is so bad because we want to, like in our culture, we want to downplay this. We want to say that it's, oh, it's just a little sin. We can't do that. We can't. By definition, sin is an affront to God. It's not placing him in his rightful place. That's a big deal. This is the Creator of the universe we're talking about, okay? So sin is bad. Mankind sinned. And like we already talked about, this is true of everyone, right? Romans 3:23. All have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. So the person that you're talking to when you're sharing the gospel is in this category along with yourself. Bring yourself there with them, okay? Bring yourself there with them. What started in the garden has now spread to all of creation. And what I like to do when I'm talking about this, when I'm talking about mankind sinning, is I like to bring in things that we experience. Sin corrupted everything. That's why we have things like cancer. That's why we have things like slander. That's why we have things like injustices that we can see. And you can name a few, right? Racism. You can say poverty. You could say all these different things you can bring in so that you can kind of personalize why sin is so bad and its effects on all creation and why we are in such need. And then we know from Romans 6:23 that sin, our denial of God, our misplacement of God, has a payment. Okay? Sin has a payment, and that is death. Eternal separation from God and physically dying. Okay? Because of sin, we die. And also, if we die in our sin, we spend eternity apart from God. And just another, I'm going to try to throw in just little tidbits as we go. We often use this language of heaven and hell. That's helpful for explaining things, but I actually think what is better to say is spending eternity with God and spending eternity apart from God. And if you really know the implications of the two of those, then those are actually scarier and better than heaven and hell, okay? And so I think it's a helpful place for us to be. Okay, so God created, God is holy, just, loving, merciful, kind, and he made man. He made man in his image. Mankind turned his back on God and sinned against him. And that's what brings us to, and then sin has a payment, right? And that payment is death. Okay, that's what brings us to the third thing, which is Christ. Okay? Now, who is Christ? We talked about him. Fully God, fully man. What else?
The Son of God.
He's the Son of God. Good.
God the Son.
God the Son. Yes, which are helpful to reverse that around. Yes, he's the second person of the Trinity. Good.
Holy Spirit.
He's not the Holy Spirit. Good try, though.
Redeemer.
He's the Redeemer. Good. What else? What else is Christ? He's the Messiah. He's the anointed one. What did you say? He's Harak. Yes, good. He's the Savior. Good, right? He's the one that we are in need of, okay? So if God has a just, righteous anger against sin, and mankind are sinners, and the payment for sin is death, then somebody has to die, right? Somebody's got to be cut off from God. And there's two options. Because God is so merciful and kind, he gives us an option, a way out. That's through Christ, okay? This is our Savior. Christ came to this earth from the presence of God. He became man, and he did exactly what we didn't do. He lived a perfect life, right? He lived morally perfect. Didn't do anything wrong. He was sinless. Though he was like us, he did not act like us, okay? Christ then took our sin on the cross, like we talked about, paying the penalty for our sin, which was death. And he rose from the dead, conquering sin and death. And he's now ascended and seated at the right hand of the Father. When we're sharing the gospel with people, Christ is where our emotion should lie. And what I mean by that is, this is the climax of the gospel good news message, is that there is good news because of Christ. Because God presented a sacrifice, a substitute on our behalf, sinners can go free. Enemies of God can now be friends and children of God. And like, if that hasn't gripped your heart yet, you are not going to tell anybody about this. You really won't. Like, it's not because I didn't know enough that you're not telling people. It's not because you didn't have this formula and now it's like, oh man, now I can start going and sharing the gospel with everybody. No, it's not. Like, this is not the way, right? Your heart gripped by the saving news that someone cared enough for you that he sent his only son to die on your behalf and give you eternal life instead should grip your heart so mightily that you're compelled to share it with people, right? And I'm speaking to all of us and myself here. Why are we not doing it? Why am I so quick to fulfill my selfish desires and not go to somebody else and share them?
We've been conditioned by the world.
Okay, yeah. We've been inundated, right?
We don't want to impose our views on other people. It's how, I mean, we've grown up in a society that focuses on secular humanism.
Yeah.
And we've been acculturated that way ourselves, especially if we've gone to public schools.
Yeah.
Especially if we've, you know, had a big role in the public sector. And so we almost have to undo that in ourselves before we can find that love and believe enough that other people need it.
Yes.
To be saved.
Yes.
We have to do that work in ourselves.
Okay, yeah. We ask God, please make that. Yeah, undo the wrong. And yes. Kevin, you got some? Yes, I agree.
People times I'm fearful that they won't want to hear the gospel.
Yeah.
Or they won't take it, like they won't believe it. So I'm just like prideful, like, oh,
yeah.
I don't actually believe the Bible, but it's like the Holy Spirit works, so why am I being prideful?
Yes. Yes, that's good. And just as an encouragement to you guys, all they can do is kill you. That's all they can do, okay? Alright? Just think about that for a second. All man can do to you is kill you. That's it. That's the worst. God says, don't fear man. What can they do? Fear God, who has control over your, who is a just judge over your salvation. Fear me, right?
That's not comforting.
Well, it's comforting to me. So, I joke with my wife. She's the most eternally minded person I know. And oftentimes it's scary to me. Like, she's like, oh, I just can't wait to die. And I'm like, what? Don't think differently of her because I say this, but she's so wanting to be with Christ that she's just like, oh, this, I'm just going to give it my all down here and I'm going to die and it's going to be great. And I'm like, you don't want to be with me? That's what I say to her. I'm like, are you sure? That makes me feel a little odd here in this position as your husband, you know. You said you wanted to spend the rest of your life with me and now you're talking about this. But no. But seriously, so that's a helpful motivator. Anyway, getting off track here. But And this verse is helpful. 2 Corinthians 5:21, the greatest exchange of all time. For our sake he made him, Christ, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. There's this exchange at the cross where Jesus Christ takes our sin and we get his righteousness, okay? And that all is dependent. It's all conditional on this last thing here. So we have God, man, Christ in response. And obviously I'm not hitting all the little things about each of these sections. A lot of us, we just need to be reminded of doing this. But if we don't know kind of how, then it's not going to be helpful. Response, the last thing. There's two responses that are evoked from hearing this message. You have repentance and faith, which I hope is everybody in this room. We've repented of our sin. That means to turn away. So if sin's over here, we're turning and going towards God. We're remorseful over our sin. And then also, we believe that what God did actually took place, that Jesus Christ was real and that he really did die and rise again for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, 1 Corinthians says, okay? And so there's that response. You got a question?
Didn't last Wednesday you say that there were actually four responses to hearing, like...
Ooh, this is good, yes.
Where, like, the first one is, it just doesn't do anything and Satan comes and steals it from you.
Yes.
The second one is where you receive it with tons of joy at first, but as soon as stuff gets difficult, then you lose it.
Yeah.
Third one is that it gets choked out by the stuff of the world.
Yes.
And the fourth one is where it's... like, you know, treated good and is believed in and isn't given up on.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Praise God that what I say on a Wednesday night gets through sometimes. Thank you, John. That's good. So that we were talking about the parable of the four different soils. And I would say the first three soils are in the second category, which is rejection of the gospel. Okay. The last soil is the good soil, which responds in repentance and faith. Okay. So thank you, John. That's great. So anyway, yes, repentance and faith and rejection. And so when we're talking to someone, sharing the gospel with them, we want to have a time of response. This is almost like, as bad as this sounds, this is almost like closing the deal or a persuasion type thing. Not, and we'll talk about this next week, not that we are the ones that are doing the saving in this. We're just being faithful. But there is response needed here. And so you either believe this or you don't believe this, okay? And someone might reject several different times, and then eventually God softens their heart and they come to faith in Christ. That totally happens all the time. That's happened with a lot of us in this room. So anyway, before we can share the gospel, we got to know it. We really have to believe it, okay? If you do not believe it, I said this already, but if you do not believe it, you will not share this with anybody else. You won't do it. You'll be too worried about, like what Sarah was saying, like what Autumn was saying, you'll be too worried about what the world thinks, what man thinks. You'll be fearful, won't have a boldness. A lot of that stuff, if we just surround ourselves with Christ and who he is and what he's done for us, the God who loves us, a lot of those things kind of come out to the edges here, okay? And I'm speaking to myself here. And the second thing for today, and then we'll consider some really practical things at the end here, is that you are the one sharing the gospel. The Christian is the one sharing the gospel, okay? This is not, here's a certain American, maybe, mindset that your pastor is the one that's supposed to share the gospel, or the ones with the seminary degrees are supposed to share the gospel, or the ones who are extroverts or outgoing are the ones that are supposed to be sharing the gospel. Or the ones that even Ephesians 4 says are gifted with evangelism are the ones supposed to be sharing the gospel. And that's misinformation, okay? If you have been saved by the gospel, you will then share the gospel. You will then proclaim it to those around you, okay? So I think that when you're saved, when you know the gospel, when you believe the gospel, the sheer greatness of the message, of the good news, of God, man, Christ's response, compels you to share. Okay? The sheer greatness of it. If that's not happening in your heart, or if it's kind of been off for some time now, pray and ask God to reinvigorate you, right? So to remotivate you with that news. It's so great that it's going to compel you. But secondly and most importantly, God commands you to share the gospel, okay? God commands you to share the gospel. Here's a few verses here. We know this one, Matthew 28. Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the..." Sorry, that A is not supposed to be there. "In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus is saying, I have given you all authority. Go and make disciples. How do you make disciples? Well, you have to first tell them all that he's shown them, which is the gospel, himself and his work. Okay? 1 Peter says, "Honor Christ the Lord as holy in your hearts, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." Listen, being prepared to make a defense about the hope that is in you, that hope is the person and the work of Christ. It is the gospel. That's what our hope is built on the life, death, and resurrection of Christ that God has provided for sinners like us. And then this last one is a bit different, but it says, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I hear of you. You are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." Paul's saying here that our life needs to match up with the message that we're bearing, okay? Our message and our life should look similar. If you think of scales, weighing scales, and you have your life on one side and you have the gospel on the other side, they should look more balanced than outbalanced, okay? They should look similar, on similar playing fields here. And how many of our neighbors and people that we work with and friends and even family members, extended family members, or people that we've met, just acquaintances, how many of those people in the world don't know the gospel because it wasn't our job? Right? That's tough. Wasn't my job. I mean, I tried to invite them to church and they didn't come. It's us that's supposed to be sharing the gospel with them, right? If a young child is walking near the edge of a pool and they're about to fall in, they can't swim, how many of us are turning away and saying, "Not my kid"? Right? I hope nobody. Don't say that. I hope nobody's saying that, right? It's not my kid, not my job, right? So it is with these people that don't know the gospel, they're lost, they're walking off a cliff, and we're turning our backs and saying, "Well, somebody else will do it, right? Surely. My pastor will go do it." No, he's not, right? I'm telling you right now. We have to go and do these things and share this message with those around us. So I hope this misinformation can be dispelled right now, that it is us. So we must believe the gospel. We must know it. And it's us that's got to share it, okay? It's you. It's me. All of us in this room. And this message should go hand in hand with our life. So this famous passage in James, it says that faith without works is dead, right? We've seen this before. That you cannot have faith if you don't have works. Faith will produce works, okay? If you have genuine saving faith, if you really believe, it will be shown in your life. And he gives the example. If someone is lacking clothing and food, and one of you says to them, verse 16, "Go in peace, be warm and filled," without giving them these things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And I want to switch this around and say, so are your works not great if the reason for doing them is separated from them. Hope that makes sense. So if I'm just being kind to be kind, and I'm not doing it because Christ was first kind to me, and I'm trying to share with my actions in my life the gospel of Jesus Christ, then they're dead. They're meaningless, right? We have all these humanitarian efforts that go out, and they do some great things. They feed the poor, and they give homes to the homeless, and all these great things. But then they give them zero hope after that, right? We cannot be like that as Christians. We go, we do the same thing, And then we give them the greatest news in the world. Though you may lose your house again, you have salvation in Christ and eternal life with him. What's better than that? Nothing is better than that. So I hope we can see that out of that James 2 passage here. All right. Here's where we're going to end with four things of practical application. And again, we want to try to be really practical as we go out through these weeks. This was kind of more foundational because we have to have some ground to come off of. But again, the truth is, if you believe the gospel, then you must, by command of God and the greatness of the message, make it known. Here are a few things to consider. I think these are all going to pop up at the same time. Okay. First, consider where you are right now. Where has God placed you? All of you live in this area for some reason. God has brought you here. Okay? God has placed you in your certain neighborhoods on purpose. God has placed you in your schools, in your workplaces, in your community groups, in whatever. You name it. He's placed you there for a reason. So consider all of those avenues. Maybe it's what is a restaurant that I go to a lot and I know the people there? Or maybe it's on the walking path out here on Route 9 and I see the same people there. Or it's probably most importantly going to be your workplaces and your neighborhoods and schools and whatever, and your families. Consider where you are, where God has placed you, all the avenues of outreach that you have. Next, consider who's there. Who are the people there? Who are they? How do you know them? What do you know about them? And what does their life tell you about what they believe? Okay? So think of those people. Think of your classmates. Think of the person that sits next to you at work that you don't ever speak to. Think about your neighbor who you've lived beside for 10 years and haven't said a word to yet. Ooh, that's tough, right? Think about that. I think that when we consider these people, when God gives us a love for these people that are right around us, and when God gives us an increased love for the news of the gospel and himself in it, then we will go to these people, and I think a lot of our conversations will start off with an apology, okay? And that's a great way to start these conversations. The other day, my neighbor's outside, and I have lived there for almost 2 years now. I've never said a word to this guy over on the left. I go out there and I have to start with, dude, I'm sorry, I've been a bad neighbor. I have not ever said anything to you. Okay? Now, our selfishness is going to say, well, he didn't say anything to me either. Right? Don't go there. Do not go there. This is not about them. This is not about blame shifting. Okay? You go there, you say, I'm sorry. You're the Christian, right? You go there and you say, I'm sorry, I've been a bad neighbor. I have not ever reached out to you or talked to you. And that's a great opportunity to then start a gospel conversation. That's a great opportunity to say, hey, I'd like to have you and your wife over for dinner. Or that's a great opportunity to say, I'd like to have you come and join us for our life group or come to our church. You go,
I think you should also bake him a pie.
That'd be great too. That'd fulfill James 2, right? Be warm and filled is what it said. It's good. And that would bring peace. Go in peace. Okay, good. Yeah, so consider where you are, all the avenues, consider the people there and who they are, their faces. I mean, really think about their faces and their names right now, okay? And then consider your conversation and behavior with them. What about you? What about your life and what you're saying to them says this person loves Jesus and they want me to love Jesus too? Does anything say that? It's convicting questions, okay? I'm doing this on purpose. Pastors are really good about making you guys feel bad, okay? And I'm trying to do that on purpose here right now. We want to be convicted by this because we want to be motivated to go and share the greatest news in the entire world with these people. So what about your conversation and behavior with them? How do you talk to them? How do you act around them? How does your behavior point to their need for a Savior? Okay? These are great questions to ask. And it might start with, God, I don't know if anything about me says this to these people. Please give me opportunities. Help me to go and do this, to go and share these things, to go and live a life worthy of the gospel so that they would see my actions and glorify you. Okay?
I think you have to pray even a level below, at least for me, Give me the desire.
Yes.
To do that.
Yes.
Because if I'm honest, I have to say, when I'm out and about in the day to day, the first thing on my mind is not talking to anybody
right.
about Christ.
Yeah.
It's about getting done whatever it is that I have on my list of things I have to get done that day. And then when I do think about it, my reaction is guilt.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't even think about that. What's wrong with me? You know, I feel guilty. And then I feel uncomfortable
mm-hmm.
because how do you start that conversation? You know, and then, I mean, and so what I've been doing lately is asking God to change me.
Yes.
Reprogram me.
Yeah.
And give me the desires that I'm supposed to have.
Yes. Yeah.
So that it doesn't feel so foreign when I go to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. That's great. Yeah. Pray and ask God, change me from the inside out so that I will be more like you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. Sarah?
I remember last year I was really nervous because I had a new neighbor, and I went and gave him the VBS flyer for his stepdaughters.
Mm-hmm.
And he, that's a brand new neighbor. That's going to be my, we share a wall. We're going to live next to each other for a long time.
Yeah.
And I mean, he was respectful about it and said, they're from, I think he was from, his wife was from Laos, and that just wasn't
oh, wow.
their religion.
Yeah.
But, he really appreciated that I took the time to think about their girls and stuff. So while it was very scary to approach, and I was scared that maybe I would be burning a bridge with the next door neighbor, he actually was very kind about the rejection.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And, even in rejection, we're not like that, pestering salesperson, but even in our rejection, that doesn't mean that we stop showing them Christ, right? Mm-hmm. We never stop doing that, right? I mean, it should be so much of our life that it's just what comes out as we live and speak, right? But yeah, that's great. That's great. And another thing is I was having a conversation with my coworker not too long ago about India, the place of India, and how there's like no Christianity there. And so I was telling him, I just have a heart for those people over there. I'd love to share the gospel with them. And, he was saying, but they already have Hinduism. Why do you need to go over there and disrupt their religious systems that are already working for them? And he's kind of on this idea of like be tolerant of everybody else's.
That was the worldview
religion.
That I was telling you about
yeah,
earlier.
Exactly. Which is pervasive now in America, and it's pervasive
yeah,
everywhere.
It is.
And so I'm saying, but if I really believe that apart from Christ, these people will spend eternity apart from Christ, do I hate them if I don't go and tell them something about him? Right? And so then that convicted me, like, well, shoot, what about my neighbor across the street? Do I hate them if I don't share the gospel with them? I mean, I don't know. That's tough, right? It's tough to play that out. But anyway, we got to get going here. The last thing here to consider. So consider where you are, the places that God has positioned you. Consider who the people there are, and consider your conversations and behavior with them. Consider how that can look more like the gospel, and you can have more of those conversations about Christ and what he's done for us. And then the last thing is consider your God, okay? Here's the deal. You're going to fail, and he never does, okay? You're going to not love like you ought, and he always will, okay? You're going to be weak, he's going to be strong. You're going to be unfaithful, he's going to be faithful. You cannot save, he can. You are not able, he is. You are not perfect, he is. You are his, he is yours. I think if we spend more time focusing on that one right there, that a lot of this other stuff goes out the window. A lot of this fear of man goes out the window, okay? If I'm focusing on, it is not about me and what I can say to these people, specifically, like it's not, I'm not the one doing the saving here, and God is, then a lot of this other stuff might fall out the window, okay? The fear of your neighbors or that coworker that might not be very responsive to the gospel. All of this stuff, if we focus on him, then I think we can say with Paul in Romans 1:16 that I'm not ashamed of the gospel, and I do believe that it is the power unto salvation. That God really uses a message from the mouth of a dirty, rotten sinner to get this across into somebody's heart, and he's going to save them for all eternity because of this faithfulness. I mean, I really believe that. I need to act like I believe that. And I hope that we are in the same category here. So as we leave here, here's your homework. Everybody got a tract, okay? Get rid of it by next week, okay? Get rid of this gospel tract by next week. Put it into somebody's hand. Use it as a helpful, like, read through it so you know what it says, right? And then give it away. Now, I'm not saying that is the best avenue for sharing the gospel. I don't think it is. But it is a avenue for sharing the gospel, and it's helpful to get you going, to get you motivated. Get rid of this tract by next week and put it into somebody's hand. Put it into somebody's hand that you were thinking of today. Somebody that you know in one of those areas that you go and make Christ known to them. All right. And the last thing is we have these question cards. So fill these out. And again, you can put them up here in the basket, wherever that went. Basket is somewhere. Put those in the basket. If you have questions, we're going to try to answer those at the end. I hope that the next 3 weeks are just going to be more motivation for us to go and share the gospel. Okay? Okay. Rodney's ready.
He does it all the time.
He's ready. He said, okay, get off the stage, Colin.